12 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, and every Monday, Sarah Swainson comes into the studio with a new adventure to share with you on her Bold Heart initiative, and she's also brought today a special guest. Sarah, welcome to you.
Good morning, good morning. I've got Doris in the studio with us this morning, but before we dive into the segment, I'm reading this really interesting book by Oliver Berkman, okay? The title's going to give... What I'm going to ask you two next is, how many weeks is the average human's lifespan?
How many weeks?
Well, take a guess.
52 in a year and 70 years.
It's too early in the morning.
2,500.
Oh, it's actually, the average is about 4,000 weeks. And the title of his book is 4,000 Weeks. And it's really about the pursuit of how do you stop chasing your to-do list, but really prioritize living well. And this morning's segment, what I love about the segment is that it prioritizes like real life connections over digital distractions. So we're jumping in. Doris has just done with a group of friends the Umfolozi Wilderness Walk. Right. So Doris, set the scene for us. What is this adventure?
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Sarah. So you rock up. You basically get your packs. You rock up at the Umfolozi.
I love the expression, you rock up.
Just make sure you've got your hiking gear on. And then you basically get your packs, you get your sleeping bags, you get one cup, one plate, and a spoon. That's the utensils for the weekend. And then you basically will, you know, the food gets shared out amongst your friends. And we've got, so the group can only be about six.
So it's a small group going on this walk. It's 3 days, isn't it?
It's 3 days, 2 nights.
Okay.
So you've got about 8 people, and then you will have 2 guides with you. That's the regulation. So,
and you mean handing out all the stuff. It's totally self-supported. Yeah. So you carry everything in your packs.
You carry everything. So when you see that, like, one litre milk carton go into your bag, you're like, oh, dear, we have to drink this because it gets really heavy. But what was beautiful is that once we were all set and ready, we actually took our watches off. So no Strava. Sorry, guys. And then we also switched off our phones and we left it in the cars.
So nothing digital goes with you.
Nothing. And, I mean, yeah, you do feel a bit lost, I guess, because everything nowadays is on the phone and on the watch and, you know, time. But what was actually quite nice, it was freeing, because now you could actually walk and you could observe, you could connect, you could see, you were literally in the moment without, you know, kind of thinking ahead already, like, oh, that would be a good picture and this and that. So we had 2 of our friends took proper cameras with, and they were able to document some of our adventures along the way, which was lovely, because after we finished our walk, and once they shared it to the group, you relive it. But it was just fabulous. Just you walk, you don't know what the time is. You get to camp with your wood. We had to carry firewood. I don't know for how far, but anyway. You get to camp. You make camp. You make the fire. You cook your dinner.
And there's no beds.
It's under the stars. So you roll up your little yoga mattress with your sleeping bag. Thank goodness they had given us very thick, beautiful sleeping bags. But, I mean, you are there, and it's quiet, and there's no light pollution, and you hear the little frogs going, and you hear the water, so the sandbanks collapsing, and you hear in the distance, we even heard the hyenas going and the lions on the second night. So, and then you have to do night watch.
that's everybody takes a turn.
Everybody takes a turn. And obviously now, because you don't have a watch, Rob, our guide, was explaining to us how to sort of figure it out. It does get a bit tricky once the moon has set. Then you're apparently supposed to do it with to kind of figure it out with the stars. But by the time I got on the watch, it was overcast. So
you kind of just
But I mean, it's like every 5 minutes, also or so, you get up, you go around the corner, you go up the path to check that there's no wild animals coming down that path, go up the other path to see that there's no wild animals coming from there. And then all the while, you know, you make sure your little fire, it's not a bonfire, your little fire keeps going with tamboti wood, because that one burns. And I was just phenomenal. I think it was just beautiful to just be.
And you came across elephants.
Yes.
Right. So were you apprehensive? What went through your mind when you see this troop of elephants?
Okay, so the elephants. So on our first day, as we kind of went to camp or walked to camp, we came across, it was a small herd of elephants, so nothing big and scary. But they were really close, and all the while our guides were like hurrying us along, and the two peeps with their cameras were like, oh, can we just take photos? And they were like, no, we must go. Because, I mean, it's a big animal, and you never know. It is nature. Mm. It's unpredictable. So they were on our path, so we now had to take a detour because the elephants were blocking our path.
Well, they've got priority, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I know. So they had right of way. So off we went into the bush, off the beaten track, and then I had to cross the river. Luckily, it was sort of knee-deep with our packs. You just prayed that you didn't slip. With our packs and our firewood as well. So off we went through the river, up on the other side, and then just walked parallel to the path on that riverbank. And then we had to cross over again to get to camp. But now the camp was up on a cliff face. So there we were all in the river with our packs looking up at that. Luckily, you know, the guys are very clever. So Rob had brought a rope with. So there we were. He climbed up, and then we were hoisting all the packs up. And you actually, Rob was saying, like, this one is light and that one is heavy. So, you know, you could see who'd actually overpacked and underpacked and so on. But, yeah, so there we were in the river. And then we had to clamber up the rock face. So for some of us who don't like heights, it was a little bit unnerving. But then once you're up on top, it's beautiful. You overlook the river. And, I mean, when you get there, I thought to myself, now, where's this fire pit and stuff? There's nothing. So whenever a group leaves camp, you clean up everything. Mm. So you don't see leftover coals. You don't see leftover food bits. And you see nothing, which is beautiful.
Tread lightly.
Yes, you actually arrive and you leave as you've arrived, if that makes sense. Yeah. So
what do you
beautiful.
Think your highlight, or was there, like, sometimes it's not a highlight, it's like just that moment that takes your breath away. Was it a conversation, a sighting? What do you think was your wow moment?
Oh, Sarah, there were so many, actually, because I caught myself every now and again while we were walking, and I just stopped and I looked around and I'm like, this is beautiful. And it wasn't that anything specifically. Mm. It was just that quietness that also we had to walk in silence. So, you know, you don't jabber along. You actually just are able to take in whatever you're seeing and the vastness of it. I mean, you know, when you go to the Berg, you're so small. The mountains are so big. Here, you know, like, everything is so big, and you can see the impala in the distance and the zebra and the buffalo and the, you know, you can see all of that.
Mm.
But you're so small. And I think it's such a grounding experience, but just the silence and just being present in the moment. Mm. That for me was a beautiful moment.
Dave, you're looking skeptical. Are you
no, I'm just wondering how, and with the bathroom spectacular.
Yes, you had bush views. It was delightful.
Best views ever.
Yeah, the best views. We had the loo part and the boo part.
With Doug the spade.
Yes. The spade, the toilet paper, and the matches. We had a firelighter came along. And so, yes, you dig your hole.
Was there anything you were apprehensive about before you went?
Not really, because, I mean, for me, because of my job, I suppose it's like the water situation and, like, how do I wash my face? It sounds so silly, but wet wipes do the trick. You just have to carry them back again with you once you've used them. But all in all, I loved it. I definitely on my list of hiking and camping things, I need to pack earplugs.
That's not for the lions roaring, is it?
That's not for the lions roaring. That's for the gents snoring. Oh, my goodness. But all in all, like, it's, you know, if even those of our friends that haven't done it before, for them it was such a grounding experience. But also, you know, there were many firsts. And I think that is beautiful. I mean, you always say do something that scares you, and that's exactly it. So we've embraced this weekend. Sorry. We've gone with friends. We've connected. Everyone has got a deep love for nature in one way or another. I mean, there was a couple, they own their landscapers. So every now and again, I was watching them, and I could just see how they were holding back, and then they were talking about this tree and that tree, and, you know, and I thought that was just so beautiful, because, you know, for the other group, it was more the animals, but for these two, it was the trees and the bushes.
So, how fit do you have to be, or, like, what level of fitness does somebody have to be able to go and do this?
Yeah. I don't think you don't have to be super fit. I think it is quite manageable. Like, what was nice about a 2 nights, 3 day is that we arrived at camp. The next day we left all our stuff at camp, and then we took a day pack and went out. Yeah. So you get that break. I think if you're going to do a three nights, then you are breaking up camp and you're going to a new place. So then I think it does become a little
nice
bit more.
Introduction.
Yeah,
too.
It's a beautiful introduction. Also, when you're not too sure, you know, that is you getting enough.
I think also what you soon realize is most people overpack. You can actually get by with quite
a little.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. I think this kind of adventure just creates space in your life, prioritizes human connections. And just, I think what I absolutely loved about it, I haven't done it, but just that silence. We don't ever have to be silent. We stand in a queue, we look at our phones, there's no silence in our lives. And I think this is just such a beautiful, beautiful adventure.
Absolutely.
But I think that Doris will agree that the bush isn't silent.
No, it isn't. And I mean, like, when do you really get the opportunity to just sit back and listen?
But humans can be silent.
Yeah. But
well, it's amazing how if you listen to what you consider the silence of nature in a wild place, you discover that there is an entire scenario of sound, and it changes all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's magnificent, but we never hear it.
No.
Well, very seldom. So you've been able to connect, and it's obviously a life-changing experience. The Wilderness Leadership Program, is it?
Yeah, it's called the Wilderness Leadership School, through which we booked. And, I mean,
is it expensive?
I suppose it is... It is a little bit costly, but
it's an investment.
But it's an investment, and and I think also, like, it is equipment hire, it's your guides, it's your food, everything is included. So, you know, you don't need to worry. I think that's what you're paying for as well. But what they do is actually they often take small school groups, do that with school groups. So I think that is actually wonderful. Teach the young ones from a young age to also be still and listen.
Yeah, very valuable. So
for anybody out there, it's the Umfolozi, the Wilderness Hike and the Umfolozi Game Reserve. And if you've been inspired, go and book yourself on it and make some space. Remember, we've got 4,000 weeks on average. You might have less, you might have more. But we've got to make sure that we use them well.
And there it is. Bold Heart. Sarah Swainson and crew, if you would like to discover more about living those 4,000 weeks, of which you've probably spent quite a few already, if the truth be told. So, from where I'm looking, it's like not that many left. And I actually quite am enjoying what comes next, I think. I think probably the best is yet to come. But while you're here, you might as well make the most of it and enjoy the ride. So connect with Sarah and the team. How does one get hold of you?
Ordinarily Active or Bold Heart Coaching on Instagram.
There it is. And our very special guest, Doris Kleinstuber.
Oh, yay.
Das ist gut hier. Very lovely. And Doris is a champion runner or organizer of runners. I believe you've got a new Jumpstart program coming soon.
Yeah. It is called Kickstart. We're starting on the 25th of this month.
That's with the Dolphin Coast Riders. And if you are a couch potato and you think I can never do this wonderful wild adventure thing because I'm not fit, a good way to start maybe to join the running club, meet new friends, get fit, so then you can live the rest of your 4,000 weeks with kind of joy in your heart and a spring in your step. And there it is. We leave it for today, but Sarah will be back next Monday. This will be up as a podcast shortly if you want to listen to it again. And the morning show continues.